Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Manim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Baba Kama Daf Nun Tes, the sixth parak Hakones. The sixth parak has been generously sponsored by the Klein family as a schus for Refuah Shlema for Gittel Zissel Bas Rachel. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a brice on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Biyosi Galili said, Nidon b'meshuyer shabo. It's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. Abaye says Rabbi Yossi Galili and Rabbi Shmuel share the same opinion. Rabbi Shmuel says that when the Torah taught to pay his choicest field or vineyard, it means Meitav Sedeu Shel Nizak, Meitav Karmo Shel Nizak, the Nizak's choicest field and the Nizak's choicest vineyard. Abai explains this to mean, but Meitav Delakame, its choicest value later on at harvest, which is assessed Kehech Desalik, based on how the rest of the field turns out. Point number two, the Braisa just mentioned taught that if an animal eats madar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the more establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they're arguing about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. The Gemara says it's unknown which Tana holds it is deducted, but Abaye proves it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. He taught that one who violates a basua does not pay compensation for her pain, because she eventually would have endured this pain under her husband. The Chachamim disagrees, saying the pain from forced relations is incomparable with that from wooing relations. Abaye says two other Tanaim deduct future benefits from damage payments. Regarding the payment of Dmei Vladus for causing a miscarriage, Rabbi Yossi says, Nakechaya, we deduct the fee for a midwife, which the husband would have paid if his wife had carried to term. Ben Azeh says, Nakemazonos, we deduct the cost of the additional food the woman would have required if her pregnancy had continued. Their Malchokas is explained. And pointing with you, the Mishnah states that if one sends fire with a cher shot of a katan, he's not compelled to pay in court for damages, but is chai b'dinei shemaim, liable by the laws of heaven. If he handed it to a competent person, that person is liable for any damages. Echod hevi esa ur, if one brought the fire, echod hevi esa etzim, and then one brought the wood and put it on the fire, the one who brought the wood is liable for damages, since the fire would not have spread without the added wood. If one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is liable. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is chayev. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are putter. As quoted on Daf Chabez Amabez, Reish Lakish says that one is only putter for handing a coal to a shota, but would be liable for handing him a flame. Rabbi Yochanan says one is even putter for handing him a flame. So once again, the three points are, number one, a brice on Nun Ches Amud Beis discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yossi Galili said, Nidon b'meshuyer shabo. It's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. Abaye says Rabbi Yossi Galili and Rabbi Shmuel share the same opinion. Rabbi Shmuel says that when the Torah taught to pay his choicest field or vineyard, it means Meitav Sedeu Shel Nizak, Meitav Karmo Shel Nizak, the Nizak's choicest field and the Nizak's choicest vineyard. Abaye explains this to mean, but Meitav Delakame, its choicest value later on at harvest, which is assessed Kehech Desalik, based on how the rest of the field turns out. Point number two, the Braisa just mentioned taught that if an animal eats madar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the more establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they're arguing about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. The Gemara says it's unknown which Tana holds it is deducted, but Abaye proves it's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. He taught that one who violates a basua does not pay compensation for her pain, because she eventually would have endured this pain under her husband. The Chachamim disagrees, saying the pain from forced relations is incomparable with that from wooing relations. Abaye says two other Tanaim deduct future benefits from damage payments. Regarding the payment of Dmei Vladus for causing a miscarriage, Rabbi Yossi says, Nakechaya, we deduct the fee for a midwife, which the husband would have paid if his wife had carried to term. Ben Azeh says, Nakemazonos, we deduct the cost of the additional food the woman would have required if her pregnancy had continued. Their Malchokas is explained. And pointing with you, the Mishnah states that if one sends fire with a cher shot of a katan, he's not compelled to pay in court for damages, but is chai b'dinei shemaim, liable by the laws of heaven. If he handed it to a competent person, that person is liable for any damages. Echod hevi esa ur, if one brought the fire, echod hevi esa etzim, and then one brought the wood and put it on the fire, maybe it's the Eitz Mechayiv, the one who brought the wood, is liable for damages, since the fire would not have spread without the added wood. If one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is liable. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is Chayiv. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are Pater. As quoted on Daf Chabez on a base, Reish Lakish says that one is only putter for handing a coal to a shota, but would be liable for handing him a flame. Rabbi Yochanan says one is even putter for handing him a flame. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Nun Tes, and this simon was suggested to us by Binyamin Mushal from Boca Raton and by Eitan Gavran. They both suggested that Nun Tes is a knight. So here goes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame. All right, so once again, in slow motion. The knight in shining armor, knight, that must be one duff, nun tes. The knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, which reminds us, a Braisa Nun Chesam Beis discussed assessing chazis, newly sprouted grain which was eaten by one's animal. Rabbi Yosef Glili said, Nidon b'meshuyar shabo, it's judged based on what remains in the field, meaning the remaining grain is evaluated at harvest time to determine the damage of the undeveloped grain. The Chachamim say we assess the value of the land with its stalks before it was damaged, and its value after its stalks were damaged. Thus, they follow the grain's current value. So the knight in shining armor was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain, didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, which reminds us that the Braisa taught that if an animal eats madar, budding grapes, Rabbi Yeshua says he pays what their value would be at harvest. After the Gemara establishes that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is saying the same thing, it explains that they argue about kachash gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine, which would have occurred if the grapes had remained on the vine until harvesting, drawing nourishment from the vine. So, the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame, which reminds us, if one brought wood and then another brought fire, the one who brought the fire is chayiv. If another person came and fanned the fire, without which it would not have grown to a fire capable of damage, he alone is liable. If it was fanned by a wind, all of them are exempt. So once again, the knight in shining armor who was getting an assessment for the damage done when his horse ate the farmer's newly sprouted grain didn't realize his horse was busy eating budding grapes, which would cost him more, minus the weakening of the vine, because he was nervous looking at three people coming, one carrying a fire, one carrying some wood, and one carrying a bellows to fan the flame. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Nun Hey. So the symbol of Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Nios, was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and a shibuta fish pulling it, right next to an enclosure where a sheep that was locked in with a Shmira Pachusa managed to escape. Once again, it's slow motion. The speed limit sign, that Masmuran Daf Nun Hey, 55. The speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Shniyos, which reminds us Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai quoted Shmuel Bar Nachman, who explained the reason why the word Tov is not mentioned in the first Aseres Hadibros, Oil B'Sof and Lishtaber, because they were destined to be shattered, which Rav Ashi explained would indicate Chas V'Shalom Paska Tovim Yisrael, heaven forbid goodness has ceased from Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua said, Aro Tes B'Cholomo Simen Yafalo, if one sees the letter Tes in his dream, it's a good sign for him. The Gemara ultimately explains, because the Torah began using the letter Tes for goodness, because its first appearance is when describing light as Tov, good. So the speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Shniyos, was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and shibuta fish pulling it, which reminds us, Rochava asked, Amanik be'izo v'shibuta mahu, one who leads a wagon by means of a goat and a shibuta fish pulling it, what is the halacha? Do we say that since the goat cannot go into the sea and the fish cannot go into dry land, he has not done anything prohibited because they are inherently separate and he's not over on climb, Or, since they drew the wagon, he violated the climb prohibition. So the speed limit sign with the word Tovenet surrounded by the outline of the Lukoshnios was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and Shibuta fish pulling it, right next to an enclosure where a sheep that was locked in with a Shmir Bahusa managed to escape. Which reminds us, the sixth parak begins, Hakonis Tzonladir, one who brought a sheep into a shed, and locked the opening before properly, but it escaped and damaged someone's property, he's pater. If it was not properly locked, he's chayev. A brisa defines a shmir bachusa, a proper locking, as delas sheyelcho lamod beruach matsuya, a door which can withstand a normal wind. This level of protection is considered shmir bachusa, lesser guarding. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is a shusher and shul going, nu nu. So here goes. The shusher, that must mean we're in Daf Nun Vav, nu nu. The shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater midine adam, telling him that he was still chayev bidine shamayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings four cases which are pater bidine adam, the chayev bidine shamayim, where their liability bidine shamayim is a chiddush. The first case is where one breaks someone's wall, allowing his animal to escape. One can think he's not even chayev bidine shamayim for the lost animal, since the weak wall was meant to be dismantled. So the shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall, leading an animal to escape, and bragged that he was pater bidine adam, telling him that he was so chayev bidine shamayim, that he didn't notice robbers striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as meshicha. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hayamim Beis taught, Hotziuha listim listim chayovim. If robbers took the animal out of its enclosure, the robbers are chayev for any damage it inflicts. The Gemara asks that this is obvious because by pulling an animal, they acquired it in theft and are responsible for its damages. One explanation that is the case of Hikisha, where the robber struck the animal causing it to move. This qualifies as Meshicha and makes him liable for the animal's damages. So the shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater bedine adam, that he was still chayev bedine shamayim, that he didn't notice robbers striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as Meshicha. Nor the man who found a lost watch and became a Shomer Aveda, which some say is like a Shomer Sacher, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the status of a Shomer Aveda, one who watches a lost object, which he found. Rabbi says, Kashomer Chinam Dam, he's considered like an unpaid custodian, and explains what Hanah comes to him from watching it. Rav Yosef says, Kashomer Sacher Dam, he's considered like a paid custodian, and explains because of the Hanah he derives, that he doesn't need to give bread to a poor person while he's involved in caring for the lost object because of the rule of Osik B'mitzvah, Patamina Mitzvah, and therefore he's considered a Shomer Sacher. Another explanation is given. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use a puppet with a very long nose. So here goes. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Zayin. The Shomer Aveda who returned a lost puppet with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar rules, a called Srichin Das Balim, every item being returned, such as a stolen item or a pikadon, requires the owner's awareness that it was returned. Otherwise, he's still responsible for it. Chutz, Mahashava Saveda, except for returning a lost item, which may be returned without the owner's knowledge, Shvarib Sabo Torah Hashavas Harbi, because the Torah included many types of returning. So the Shomer Aveda who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aveda and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making mechayiv to pay kefil. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said, a ton tanis listi mezuin, where one makes a claim that a lost item that he found was stolen by an armed robber, which is an onus, for which even a Shomer Sacher is pater, he pays double for falsely claiming so. Although one only pays kefil for a claim of theft by a gunav, one who steals secretly, and not a gazlan, one who robs openly through force, Rav Yosef holds that an armed robber, since he hides from people, he's classified as a gunav. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making him chayev to pay kefil. Over at someone who rented a cow say he would pay for the stolen cow and not swear, knowing if the thief gets caught, he'll receive kefil. Which reminds us, if someone rented a cow and it was stolen, and instead of swearing to exempt himself, he said, Hareini mishalom ve'eini nishba, I shall pay and not swear, and the thief was later found, mishalom tashumi kefil esocher. He pays kefil to the renter because by paying for it voluntarily, he acquires the stolen cow. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must have been wearing Daf Nun Ches. When Noah Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, which reminds us two reasons are given as to why the concept of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where one does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property, does not apply where a sheep fell into someone's garden and the produce cushioned the fall. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas the owner of the garden saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And secondly, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, whereas this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage, and therefore he may collect the animal's benefit. So when Noah Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, which reminds him, it was taught that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Avama aruga la aruga, but if it went from one row to another row and ate there, meshalemes masha hazika, it pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one row to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit, ashitetsi vitaksu ladas, until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. So when Noah Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a beisah, which reminds us. The Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a beisah of land. Rav Masson provides the source, Ubir Bistei Acher, and it consumes in the field of another. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another larger field. The Gemara brings different opinions as to how the price of a beisah is evaluated. All right, so now it's time to conclude with the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn why Tov only appears in the second version of the Aseret HaDibros and the meaning of seeing a tess in a dream? That's on Daf Nun Hey. Good. Number two, which stuff do we discuss Kashas Gufna, deducting the weakening of the vine? That's on Daf Nun Tess. Good. Number three, which stuff do we machok is whether a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Sachar or a Shomer Chinam? That's on Daf Nun Vav. Good. Number four, which daf do we machok is whether an owner of a boar has to pay if a cow falls in backwards from the sound of digging? That's on Daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number five, which daf do we learn about the exemption of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion from a friend's property, versus an animal falling into someone's garden? That's on Daf Nunches. Good. Number six, which stuff would you discuss a fire to which multiple people contributed, where one brings a fire, one brings a wood, and one fans a flame? That's on Daf Nuntes. Good. Number seven, which stuff when one is permitted to return a lost object without the owner's knowledge? That's on Daf Nunzine. Good. Number eight, which stuff would you discuss whether assessing damage to underdeveloped grain, chazis, is based on the field's current value or harvest time value? That's on Daf Nun Tess. Good. Number nine, which something when the one is exempt for the damages to a short pikeach who fell on a boar because the shore should have been watching where it was walking? That's on Daf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 10, which stuff do we discuss if the owner of an animal that fell into someone's garden is chayiv if his animal goes from one row to the next to eat the produce? That's on Daf Nun Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.